Good evening, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of Journey into Justice, a chance to take a look inside the legal world. As always, I'm joined by my very good friend, attorney and author Mark Bellow. Mark, welcome to the program.
Simon, as always, it's wonderful to be here. Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners.
Seeing as
2020 is here.
Right. Seeing as it's the first program of 2020, we thought we'd start off on a pretty light-hearted note. If you scour the internet for just a few minutes, you'll discover that there's all sorts of weird and wonderful laws on the books. Now, you can't usually believe everything you read on the internet. However, you know, occasionally there is a nugget of truth out there. So, Mark, I understand you've been doing some research in this area. What have you found?
Well, as you indicated, it's a new year. Everyone's still on vacation, hungover, excited about football. By the way, I don't know if you watched football this weekend, but what a bunch of great games over the weekend. Perhaps we ought to skip the law and solve all of our problems by hosting sporting events or something. And if your team wins, you win your case. I don't. But anyway, I thought I would keep it light. And, you know, I sent you the email this morning, and one of the things I forgot about before we get started, and I would be remiss not to mention, is that today was the very first day of the Harvey Weinstein trial. It's very preliminary stuff today. They will have to pick a jury. They'll have to establish protocol. Then they'll give opening statements, et cetera. The hearing today, the actual hearing, was 80 minutes long. But what's interesting is that the trial is starting, and it, unlike most criminal trials where they try to get the defendant a speedy trial, this trial is beginning 2 years after the stories of Weinstein's sexual abuse, harassment, and secret settlements broke. As almost everybody knows, he used his influence as a Hollywood power broker to take advantage of young women. At least that's what the allegations are. Now, since that story broke, more than 80 women have come forward, and that parade of women resulted in what's now known as the Me Too movement. And I don't know how many people are aware of this, but despite all of these women who have come forward, this trial that's beginning today is about five felony charges and claims by only two of these 80 women. Several others may testify, but this trial is about only two of the women and five of their claims. And I just wanted to mention it. When the trial gets going and as things develop, we'll certainly discuss the case and the trial. As it is, jury selection is expected to last at least a week, probably two. So we'll keep an eye on things. Tonight, though, as I indicated, after the new year, after everyone's coming back from vacation after being hungover after football. I thought we'd keep it light. I want to give a special shout-out of thanks to Castilla Medrano from Thrillist.com. This is really her list. What I liked about this, because as you mentioned, the internet is full of sites that claim this weird law and that weird law from this state to that one. Most of those are bogus, but according to Castilla, she's researched every state very diligently, and the laws we're going to discuss tonight are real. So without further ado, we'll get started. What's the first, if you discuss states in America in alphabetical order, what's the first state? I'll give you 5 seconds. One,
okay.
Two, three, four.
Well, let's go with Alabama.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding. You win a Tootsie Roll Pop. I'll send it to you. In Alabama, you might be interested to know that you may not impersonate a member of the clergy. And it is a misdemeanor in Alabama that will result in actual jail time or a fine of up to $500. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do that anyway. And I also don't know why the penalty is so weak, because this shit is dangerous. I mean, if you think about it, members of the clergy take confession. Members of the clergy give advice. Members of the clergy have in the past done some weird and dangerous things. If you've ever thought about impersonating a priest or a clergyman or a rabbi, I highly suggest that you not do it. But I would especially suggest that you not do it in Alabama. although like I said, the penalty is pretty weak, don't you think? $500 and maybe some jail time.
Actually, when you started talking about this particular law, it brought a smile to my face. For my 40th birthday, we threw a party, and it was a very irreverent party. The theme was Vickers and Tarts, Men of the Cloth and Ladies of the Night.
I mean, does a kid get arrested on Halloween if he's dressed like a priest? I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, in Alaska, which is the next state on my list, we discussed this off the air. There are many, many phony moose laws floating around the internet. Everybody on the internet has some kind of moose law. The one I thought was the funniest was someone claimed that there was a law that you couldn't throw a moose out of a moving airplane. to me, that's just common sense. But all of these so-called moose laws are faked, but here's a real one. If you kill a moose in Alaska or any other big game animal, no matter what the circumstances are, you must try to salvage the meat so that people can eat it. That's the law. Simon, would you know how to do that?
No.
Animal, would you know?
I'm not much of a hunter.
The other thing I wondered is if you slaughter the moose and you have to do it a certain way for it to be kosher. I wonder if moose meat is kosher. I'm not sure. In Alaska, apparently, you can't kill a moose. Or if you can kill a moose, but if you kill it, you have to try to salvage the meat. So and I guess, you know, if you think about it, it takes away the sport and requires the killing to have a purpose. It's not really that outrageous of a law if you think about it.
Right.
But there isn't
now.
But there is an outrageous law in Arizona. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I lived in Calgary, Alberta for many years. It's a delightful place.
The Alaska of Canada? Or what? that would be Vancouver, wouldn't it?
Well, Calgary is in Alberta. Every winter, there'd be a headline in the newspaper about a moose wandering into the city. And moose are very large and, generally speaking, very bad-tempered. So I'm just wondering exactly how anyone would throw one off an aircraft. I mean, that would be quite a challenge.
Well, it's like I said, that's not a real law. That's
right.
That's the one that's floating around the internet. Anyway, in Arizona. Are you ready for Arizona?
Oh, yes.
Would you like to feed some garbage to a pig?
Sure.
I suggest you not do that unless you have a permit. Or unless the pig and the garbage are your own. Seriously? I mean, we need a law for this? And this is Arizona. I mean, you would think it's not some backwards state. I was flabbergasted by the fact that there's a law that says you can't feed garbage to a pig unless you have a permit or unless the pig and the garbage are your own. So I guess for some reason in Arizona, there's a need for this kind of law.
Right. In Las Vegas, on the other hand, actually, maybe the same law, but it's big business getting in with the casinos, the resorts, and picking up their, waste from the buffet and feeding it to pigs. It's very much a commercial enterprise.
Is it legal?
Yes. I don't know what the permitting process is.
Don't do it in Arizona.
Right.
Now, in Arkansas, I'm not even paraphrasing this. I'm going to quote the actual law because no one would believe this is actually a law. I'm going to actually read the law itself. Section 18-55 of Little Rock, Arkansas's Code of Ordinances. This is as of March 2017, and it states, and I quote, "No person shall sound the horn on a vehicle at any place where cold drinks or sandwiches are served after 9 p.m. I don't know why you'd want to honk your horn at a subway or somewhere like that after 9 o'clock in the evening, but you're not allowed to do it in Arkansas. Now, I'm guessing that Arkansas, given that it's Arkansas, has a plethora of strange laws, but that one, so you can honk your horn after 9 a.m., 9 p.m., anywhere else? You can drive through a neighborhood honking your horn? You just can't do it at a place where cold drinks and sandwiches are served. Now, maybe there's a separate disturbing the peace statute, but what do you think caused the need for them to specify no horn sounding at a place where cold drinks and sandwiches are served, and
that was just what was going through my mind. You know, who was the brain cell that decided that such a law was needed? And, you know, and who on earth, you know, voted it into law? And why?
Well, you're gonna be scratching your head and asking why for most of these, but I just, you know, you got a bunch of guys sitting around trying to come up with some reason. I mean, I just for the life of me can't figure out what happened in Arkansas that what void was filled by enacting this law, but that's the law in Arkansas. Now California is a pretty progressive state, right?
Yes.
Now you would think that in California we'd be dealing with a lot of laws that have cleaned up the air and cleaned up the water and limited the amount of probably public transportation and rail and, laws that about overcrowding. We've all heard the stories about traffic in L.A. and what have you, crime even, I'm sure there's plenty of good laws in California, but I'll bet you didn't know that in California you can have as many frogs for as many frog jumping contests as you want, but if any of them die, California law says you may not eat them. Contrary to the moose law, where you must eat them, in California, you may not eat them. So if you want to eat the dead frogs after you kill them in a frog jumping contest, you must hold the contest in another state. And that is the law. That is the law in California.
Oh,
put down your pipe and smoke.
That's great. What one wonders, what about fine dining restaurants in California? I guess you can have frog's legs on the menu. but they're not allowed to. You're not allowed to let them jump around in the kitchen.
Not after a frog jumping contest. Now, you can't have a contest. They can jump around the kitchen. It just can't be a contest.
Okay. I wonder if there's inspectors that go around making sure that no illicit frog jumping contests are going on.
Well, I'll tell you how dumb I am. I didn't know there was such a thing as a frog jumping contest. So
no, I've got to admit, it's news to me.
Is that a thing in California? Frog jumping contest?
Not that I can recall.
All right. I don't know the origin of the law, and I don't know how long it's been on the books, but it's still on the books. Which leads us to Colorado. This is kind of a play on words. It's kind of fun. In Boulder, Colorado, what do you think you're forbidden from doing?
Rolling boulders downhill.
You are correct, sir.
Good guess.
You are forbidden from rolling, throwing, or otherwise moving any boulders on any public lands. So I guess we're required to leave boulders alone.
Now, you know, this begs the question, what possible harm could there be in moving a boulder?
I would imagine that if there's somebody on the other side of the hill that you roll the boulder down, it's probably a law based on safety. You know, some of these laws sound silly, but the results of doing the or participating in the behavior that is sought to be restricted might in fact be dangerous. So just remember, if you're in Boulder, Colorado, leave boulders alone.
Right. Simon,
do you know what silly string is?
I'm sorry, hit me again.
Silly string.
No.
I'm not sure I do either. Maybe my grandson's here. Maybe I should ask him. Connecticut has a law that prevents you from using silly string.
Oh, silly string.
You can't use it at all.
Yes.
Silly string.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay. You're not allowed to use silly string except in the privacy of your own home. Would a prosecutor actually prosecute you for this?
Actually,
please tell our audience what silly string is, because I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay. It comes out of an aerosol can, and like the name implies, it comes out a string.
It makes a huge
mess.
sticky, yeah, okay, I got you. Sort of like
right.
Flying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got into a huge amount of trouble the last time I bought a can of it. I thought I'd amuse the wife and instead made this huge mess and got into an enormous amount of trouble. So I now avoid a silly string. Nothing good can come of it.
Well, then you'll be happy to know, my friend, that you can live in Connecticut in peace. So if you ever decide to move and you want to avoid Silly String, Connecticut is the place for you.
I will bear that in mind.
Now, in Delaware, actually, it's a certain town in Delaware, you are not permitted to tailgate or otherwise picnic around your car between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. Now, I ask you, what jerk would want to tailgate or otherwise picnic in their car between midnight and 6 a.m.? Are there football games at midnight?
I'll just merely go back to my earlier comment about New Year's. I was in bed asleep by 9 o'clock, so this law would not affect me in one iota.
So old men like you and me don't even know what's going on. Maybe there is something going on between midnight and 6 a.m. I don't know. Back in my day, when I used to manage movie theaters before I went to law school.
Oh, and, really?
We would have 11 o'clock and sometimes midnight shows, you know, what we'd call midnight madness. And we'd leave work at 2 a.m., sometimes 2:30 in the morning. And I can assure you that nobody's out there tailgating or picnicking at 2:30 in the morning. Kind of an odd law. I don't understand. Again, I'm guessing, and this is just a guess, if there's a huge event, maybe you want to be the first person in the parking lot make sure you get a good parking place so you get there at very early in the morning. That's the only possible reason I could think for a law like this. But just remember that when you're in Delaware, keep your picnic basket in your car and don't use it between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. Got that?
Absolutely.
Now, here's a question for you before I get to the state. And this is kind of serious. I mean, it's a strange law, but I don't think it's funny. As a lawyer who handles cases like this, I kind of get it. But is the purpose of a beware of dog sign, to protect the person who encounters the dog, or to protect the premises of the dog owner? What do you think, Sam?
You know, I'm really unsure. It's rather like the no trespassing sign. If I want to call on you because you're my friend, does that no trespassing sign apply to me? Or can I just ignore it and come knock on your door?
And again, the question I asked you is, what do you think the phrase means? Beware of dog. Do you think that the person who posts the sign is trying to protect his property, or do you think he's trying to protect the person who might encounter the dog? Personally, I think that language is posted by a person who's trying to protect his premises. That's just an opinion, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I'd be tempted to go along with that.
Well, in Florida, where I'm at right now, a beware of dog sign does not prevent liability for a dog bite. The sign must say, quote, bad dog. It cannot say beware of dog. It has to say bad dog, because that puts a potential victim on notice that the dog might be vicious. Now, as a former trial lawyer, a liability lawyer, I don't think either of those signs should prevent owner liability. I think the actual circumstances of the case should dictate whether the store owner or the homeowner would be liable. But these signs, whether it says vicious dog on premises or bad dog on premises or beware of dog, a sign shouldn't excuse an owner from curbing his dog, tying up his dog, preventing his dog from getting out, preventing a dog from getting close enough, even to a trespasser. There's less of a duty to a trespasser. They're not owed the same duty as a person who's invited onto the premises. But I don't think having posting a sign gives you the right to have your dog bite somebody. So as funny as that law sounds, it's kind of a serious matter.
Indeed.
Have you ever lived on a boat, Simon?
No, I've spent a lot of time bobbing around on boats, but I'll be honest with you. I like to race them. I like to sail them. There's not enough money on this earth to get me to live on one.
Well, if you live on a boat and you live on it for longer than 30 days, don't do it in the state of Georgia. Because in Georgia, you may not stay on a boat for more than 30 days without filing for an extension. Now, what I'd like to know is who keeps track of this 30 days. And if you're on a boat, wouldn't it just be easier for the boat guy to go to Florida? It's warmer and there's more water there. I don't know. Why the hell would you want to live in a boat in Georgia? Savannah's nice, I guess.
Right.
Savannah's on the coast. But I just that befuddles me. And it befuddles me on two fronts. One, why would you stay on a boat in Georgia for more than 30 days? And two, who's keeping track of
who gives a damn?
Well, not just that, but I mean, is somebody counting?
Maybe they have parking zone people, who come around every day and check the boat.
Could be. maybe in order to dock your boat, you have to have a slip and so on and so forth. But you just have to wonder. Do they actually pay somebody to keep track of this stuff? And are you making enough money giving people tickets for being there longer than 30 days to justify that person's employment? I don't know. Seems kind of stupid to me.
Indeed.
In Hawaii, Simon, you might be interested in knowing this. In Hawaii, you once could only have one drink in front of you at a time. Did you know that?
No,
you can't purchase
that's...
two drinks.
Right. That's not the only state where that law is on books. I've come across before.
All right, I'm happy to report that law has been repealed in Hawaii. You can have more than one drink in front of you in Hawaii, but there is a law that prohibits you from drinking on the beach. So I suggest that you not drink on the beach, right? Now,
right.
What's the obvious solution if you find yourself on the beach with a drink in your hand and a cop approaching?
Spill it.
Walk into the ocean.
Ah, okay. Yeah, right.
You won't be drinking on the beach anymore. You'll be drinking in the ocean. Is that safer? I mean, who comes up with this shit? If this is a safety law, if this is a public intoxication law, you know, maybe you'll become belligerent. Maybe you're a danger to yourself and others. If that's the intent of the law, take the drunk off the beach, have him staggering around in the ocean with his drink. That's a safer alternative. It's weird stuff. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we're talking about what happens in hot weather. In Idaho, in cold weather, you'll be happy to know that it is not illegal to throw a snowball. How do you like that?
That's great.
People like to throw snowballs, right? So, I mean, you don't want that to be illegal. But in Idaho, it is illegal to throw snowballs in such a manner. This is quoting the law now. In such a manner as to cause damage to the person or property at which you are aiming the snowballs. Now I ask you, what other reason would you have to throw a snowball other than to throw it at a person or some property? Isn't that the reason for throwing a snowball in the first place?
Right, exactly.
Now, you know, I imagine if you broke a window throwing a snowball, you'd get in trouble, but you really need a law to say that you have to pay for the window if you throw a snowball through it? But the befuddling part of that is you can throw a snowball into the air or into the stratosphere, I guess, but you cannot throw a snowball at a person or property in Idaho, which causes me to wonder why the hell would anybody want to throw a snowball for any other reason.
Right.
Now, in Illinois, pretty progressive state, again, in Illinois, be careful not to fall asleep in a cheese shop because it is illegal to nap. It's illegal to nap in a cheese shop. Now, here again, what do you suppose is the origin of that law? What could have prompted it? I probably should have done more research, but we only have an hour show. We're only on Illinois, and it's already 8:40. I can't, for the life of me, figure out why they singled out a cheese shop. It's not Wisconsin, it's Illinois.
Right. That doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, Illinois is not even really well known for its cheeses.
No, I agree. Now, Indiana, as you know, is famous because our current vice president hails from Indiana. Mike Pence used to, as you know, be one of Indiana's lawmakers. So you could expect, I presume, some very odd law. I mean, oh my God, you can pray the gay away, don't you know? According to Vice President Pence. I don't know if you're aware of that he feels this way, but that was one of his big things in Indiana. The other big issue with him was Muslim immigration. He did not want Syrian refugees coming to Indiana, and he drafted a law that prevented them from doing so under very stringent circumstances, and a federal judge, we may have discussed this on a past show, but there's a case, and the name of it escaped me, it might be United States versus Pence or United States versus Indiana, but this federal judge read him the Riot Act, made him look like a complete idiot in totally violating the Constitution. Now, aside from these very serious legal issues that he tried to legislate, Indiana also prevents you from catching fish with, quote, a firearm or with, quote, your hands alone, unquote. So you can't shoot a fish or catch the fish with your hands.
That's interesting.
So I just want to go on record as saying the vice president passed some very important legislation while he was in Indiana.
Are you familiar with the southern style of fishing called noodling?
No.
Okay, you'll love this. I didn't think it was true. You know, when I first read about it, I laughed and I thought, yeah, it's the internet. You know, it's just more bullshit. Anyway, at the time, I was teaching a class about using the internet, and I actually had one particular lesson, which was all about the the pitfalls of the World Wide Web, and how you need to keep your wits about you, and so that introduced the subject of noodling. The idea with noodling is essentially you jump in the river and you work your way along the riverbank trying to find holes in the bank where a fish, particularly a catfish, might lurk. You stick your hand in there and you wriggle your fingers around. This apparently attracts the catfish, who will leap onto your hand. Now,
well, do not do that in Indiana.
Right. Well, this is all well and good if it's a catfish, because catfish don't have teeth. The problem is the other critter that you tend to find in these, crevices are snapping turtles. And you don't want one of those, grabbing a hold of your fingers.
And of the fishermen lurking about on these southern rivers, how many of them would engage in this practice? Or let me ask it a different way. How many are stupid enough to engage in this practice?
Right. It apparently is quite popular. If you do a Google search
noodling. It's quite popular with the turtles, is what it is.
Yes, indeed. And there are lots of really good horror stories about noodling.
I'm sure there are. You should discuss it on your fishing.
Right. That there apparently are deaths every year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Again, I don't know what the impetus of the law is, but shooting a fish is kind of cruel and unusual, and using your hands is dangerous. So I can see some reasons for it. When do the people have common sense and don't need laws to prevent them from doing that, which is stupid in the first place? But in Iowa, are you ready for Iowa?
Sure.
Iowa takes its butter very seriously. You cannot call anything butter other than butter in Iowa. You cannot use the words butter, creamery, or dairy, nor can you market any of the products with images of dairy cows. You must market butter substitutes as oleomargarine. Iowa will not tolerate fake butter. So put that in on your pancakes and smoke it.
I'm not altogether against that law.
There used to be a product called I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. A margarine product. The whole idea of selling these non-butter substitutes was that butter had a lot of fat and cholesterol, and that these might be safer for you. I'm not sure that's true. I think that's been debunked over the last few years, but at the time that was the thought. So it's pretty obvious when something is not butter. And again, the question I have isn't comparing it to butter. Are your people that stupid that you need a law that says a product that is margarine can't be compared to butter? That just strikes me as pretty dumb. In Kansas, Simon, I don't have a whole lot to say about this, but in Kansas, especially in Wichita, Kansas, you may not swim or wade in a public fountain. And I have to tell you that if that was the law on a hot day in Detroit, everybody would be arrested.
Right.
I don't know what's going on in Mississippi. It's pretty hot there. Do you see people using public fountains and trying to avoid the heat that way?
We don't have any public fountains in the metropolis I live in.
Well, don't do it in Kansas.
Okay.
Now, in Kentucky, it's unlawful. It's unlawful to sell those dyed baby chicks that you see around Easter time.
Right.
You can't sell those unless there's an exception. What do you think the exception is?
I honestly have no clue.
You may sell them in groups of six or more. Now please explain to me the purpose of that distinction.
Obviously it's okay in bulk.
they want you to buy in bulk is what you're saying. Maybe that's
right.
Louisiana, I've got two of them in Louisiana, which is right down your area, right?
Oh, yeah.
Next door to you.
Ten miles south of us.
Now, this is probably the most bizarre one of all. I want you to listen to this carefully. I'm not sure we're going to get through all of these. It's almost 9 o'clock. But in Louisiana, you cannot order goods or services for someone who doesn't know to expect said goods or services. You want me to repeat that? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, and I'm not sure I understood it.
Well, you know, I wrote down, huh? Think about this. I'm an author. I've written some great legal thrillers, right? You've read them.
Yep.
I cannot go on Amazon. I cannot purchase one of my books for you or a friend of yours and send it to them. I can't send my wife flowers. What's wrong with these things? Aren't they nice things to do? What the hell? Now, if this law isn't bad enough, Simon, and I know you're near the Louisiana border, if you happen to travel there, please make sure you don't steal any crayfish while you're in the state, because that's also illegal. Now, my question, you might know this because you live near Louisiana. Is it legal to steal some other kind of fish?
I don't believe so.
Why is it limited to stealing crayfish? But again, the really bizarre one is, you know, all of these laws are kind of bizarre. But the one about don't buy something for someone who isn't expecting it. I mean, random acts of kindness are illegal in Louisiana. That's the message.
Yep.
That's really bizarre. Now, in Maine, you can't skateboard on the sidewalks in Maine. Now, in Biddeford, Maine, Biddeford, Biddeford, the fine's only $10. So if you're going to skateboard on the sidewalks in Maine, make sure you do it in Biddeford. In Maryland, while near any street, sidewalk, or highway within the hearing of persons passing by, upon or along such street, sidewalk, or highway, you may not use profane language. So in other words, if someone cuts you off, don't roll down the window and tell them where you can put it. Or to kiss your what? Or to go and
rub
some. Do not do that in Maryland. And in Massachusetts, don't give alcohol to a hospital patient if they've been hospitalized for something alcohol-related, unless it's prescribed by a doctor. Same thing goes for drugs. Now, I ask you, what doctor or nurse would prescribe alcohol or drugs to an alcoholic or a drug addict?
Right? It's pretty unlikely.
Do you really need a law?
I think that's pretty much the theme of tonight. We've got all these wonderful laws on the books, and just how many of them are worthwhile, and how many of them are just a waste.
Well, I would imagine we could find a lot of these laws still on the books that are no longer needed or are as silly as the ones we've mentioned so far. In Michigan, my home state, where almost everyone travels by car, I mean, Detroit is the motor city after all, you may not travel on a train when you are inebriated. You must be sober to travel. Now, this is not so dumb. It sounds like common sense to me, and I certainly hope it applies to the conductor. So the message is stay sober and wait till you get to Illinois, Indiana, or Ohio. There are neighboring states before you get drunk. And for God's sakes, if you're drunk and you're thrown off a train, don't try to drive a car, right?
Right.
Because that's even worse. Did you know in Minnesota, very much like our California frog jumping contest, in Minnesota, a citizen may not hold a pig chasing or a pig catching contest, greased, oiled, or otherwise. You are also permitted from throwing turkeys or chickens in the air with the intent to catch them. I guess you have to drop them or intend to drop them. My solution, Simon, is just say no to animal abuse, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Now, you're in Mississippi, right?
Yep.
Okay, here's a word of warning for you. Do not disturb a church service in Mississippi. You will get yourself arrested, and any parishioner can make a citizen's arrest. So be careful in services, Emmett.
Right. I will be on my best behavior.
Now, what I wonder is whether this applies to synagogues and mosques as well. What do you think?
Oh, I would think so.
It says church services, so I don't know. In Jefferson County, Missouri, you may hold a garage sale only between the hours of 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. And the garage sale cannot last more than 3 days. And you can't hold more than two per year. Now, I don't necessarily think that's any big deal or stupid. I just don't understand why the restriction. That's that.
Yeah, that kind of puts the kibosh on having any sort of flea market type arrangement.
Well, but it's like creating a law for a problem that didn't exist in the first place.
Right.
That's what I don't understand about that. Only between the hours of 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. When else would you want to hold one? And only for more, and no longer than 3 days. How much junk do you have to accumulate to hold a garage sale for more than 3 days? I don't know. It seems to be a law that has no purpose. In Montana, now this is interesting, and apparently there's a a test case that people might want to research. In Montana, if you start a performance on stage, you must commit to finishing that performance on stage. You may not abandon the performance mid-song. That's it. There's nothing funny to say about this, but there is apparently some history with this law and a burlesque dancer back in 1987. So people might want to research the burlesque dancer in Montana that resulted in this, you must finish your performance on stage. I don't know whether this person walked off naked or what happened, but that was apparently the reason the law got introduced. In Nebraska, you cannot purchase a cocktail that mixes liquor and beer. So Nebraskans will just have to purchase two drinks like the rest of us. Guzzle the beer and then down the cocktail.
Right. Yeah.
Are you familiar? Have you ever skied or snowboarded?
No. I know what it is, but
I'm not much of a skier myself. But are you familiar with you're on a chairlift? And apparently there's a weird tradition of throwing Mardi Gras-style beads or festive litter from the chairlift into nearby trees. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
No, I have not.
Well, don't do it. Don't do it in Nevada. Now, to me, this is actually a quite sensible safety law, Simon.
Right.
What's weird here is that there's some tradition of throwing beads from a chairlift. People can get hurt skiing or boarding over the crap that they throw onto the mountains. So I'm all for no bead throwing from your chairlift.
Yes.
Now. If you recall, we had a picnic at midnight in Delaware. You can't do that, right?
Right.
In New Hampshire, it's illegal to have a picnic in a cemetery. So, if you want to have that picnic at midnight, you can have it in New Hampshire, but you can't have it in the cemetery. So, I suggest to New Hampshire that they advertise for picnics at midnight, and maybe they'll attract Delaware residents.
There you go.
Now, New Jersey has a law that I like, as long as I'm not charged extra. I remember a time when you pulled into a gas station and a greasy-looking attendant waited on you and pumped your gas and checked under your hood. You remember that?
Yeah, those were the good old days.
He smelled like gas and oil, and you stayed clean. Nowadays, we have to pump our own gas, except in the state of New Jersey. New Jersey is the last state where you're not allowed to pump your own gas. What do you think of that?
I'm
all for it.
I think we should all move to New Jersey.
I don't understand the reason for the law, but I'm all for it.
Right.
No, I can't think of anything really witty to say about this law on the books in New Mexico, but it is actually a misdemeanor to misuse the national or state anthems. Do you know what the state anthem of New Mexico sounds like, Simon?
No.
It's a tune called "O Fair New Mexico." If I knew it, I would sing a few bars for you. But until I researched this program, I'd never heard of the tune. I also, very importantly, have no idea what the state means by the word misuse. So if you're in New Mexico and you want to make fun of an anthem, I suggest to the people that they find out what New Mexico means by the term misuse. Otherwise,
right.
they could get in trouble with the law. Now, I love New York. New York, especially New York City, it's a great walking city with great sights, theaters, restaurants. However, when you're walking around the city, if you encounter a tiger or a lion or any other big cat, it is illegal to take a selfie with them. Now, this is not only for your protection, but for theirs as well. I want you to know that as a lifelong Detroiter, I am very fond of the Lions and the Tigers. And I'm sick of sports bias in favor of the Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets. So I think this is a great law. Be kind to our Lions and Tigers. They're really going through tough times in Detroit right now.
Right.
all kidding aside, I think they're referring to zoo animals, but I'm not positive.
Right.
Do you like bingo?
Do I like bingo?
If you do, you might want to stay out of North Carolina.
Really?
Because if you want to play more than 10 hours of bingo a week, you have to do so at a bingo exhibition. Otherwise, it's illegal to play more than 10 hours of bingo, according to state gambling statutes. Now, in North Dakota, you're sitting at a park bench. You're minding your own business. A pigeon drops a turd on your head or swipes or soils your lunch. You might be mad as hell, right?
Right.
Don't take revenge, especially in North Dakota. You may not kill a pigeon in North Dakota. There is an exception. If you're absolutely fed up and you wish to extract the ultimate revenge on these pests, you ready? You may obtain a pigeon killing permit. I guess if you obtain a pigeon killing permit, you may kill all the pigeons you want.
Right.
Now, for those of you who are criminally inclined and just can't get out of their own way, here's some good news. You might want to move to Ohio. Now, I'm not encouraging anyone to engage in criminal behavior. We have very high standards here at Journey into Justice. But if you're a prankster and enjoy committing, shall we say, less serious crimes, know this. Commit them on Sunday in Ohio, because on Sunday in Ohio, you can't be arrested. And that also applies to July 4th. Now, one word of caution. There is an exception for people who commit the crime on Sunday or on Independence Day on the river. Huh? What the hell difference does that make?
Right.
But that's the exception. Now, in Oklahoma, very important, I don't want any of our Oklahoma listeners to get into trouble. So as a public service, we here at Journey into Justice are making you aware of this important groundbreaking legislation. In Oklahoma, you may not, under any circumstance, make glue out of dead skunks.
Oh, that's too funny.
You got
funny.
That, Simon?
Yep.
You got that?
Yep.
Right. So remember that if you're ever in Oklahoma.
Mark, I hate to do this, but
all right, we're
about to get cut off.
All right.
This has been absolutely delightful. And we'll be back again next Monday.
With Orc.
We'll probably have a more serious discussion. But I'm sure it will be just as fascinating as tonight. So until then, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. And as I said, we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Mark.